الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Last week, in our discussion of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah al-Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, we concluded our discussion dealing with the quality of Rahmah. And then the Shaykh had, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, had quoted around 7 verses or so. And the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah elaborated on them, and he added a couple of his own that were relevant to the subject matter. All of them trying to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the quality of mercy. He is merciful. He has the name Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, and he has the quality of Ar-Rahmah. Although some Muslims have denied it, like the Asha'ira, as we mentioned, who claim that you cannot say that because that is a sign of weakness, and you know Allah is not of this nature, so then you cannot say that Allah has mercy, and they try to interpret it in different ways. And we said all this is deviance in the understanding of the names and attributes of Allah. It's a philosophical approach that Allah never sent down any authority in regards to. And so we, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we remain with what the textual evidences indicate according to the apparent meaning. We don't believe as the Batiniyya, those who believe that everything has a hidden secret meaning, that the Quran has secret, you know, messages, subliminal messages that only the extreme Sufis understand. You know, people who have, you know, reached a particular level of whatever, right, supposedly consciousness of Allah. All this is just from the tricks of the shaitan. The Sahaba were not like that. No one claimed that the Quran was mysterious and that they were hidden subliminal messages. They took it as it was. And so we take it as it is right now. And we now we'll be moving on to Sifat Ar-Rida. Ra, Ba, Alif, Maqsura. And the Alif Maqsura is the one that looks like a Ya without the two dashes at the bottom. Ar-Rida is, can be translated into in more than one way. It could be satisfaction, or it could be pleasure. Pleasure, being pleased with. Tayyib. And to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the quality of Rida, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah quoted the following ayah. He cited the ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 119. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu says, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. This ayah actually comes in more than one surah in the Quran. It comes also in Surah Al-Tawbah, right? And I believe at the end of Surah Al, towards the end of the Quran, Al-Bayyina, right? This reality of Allah being pleased with His servants is occurs more than once in the noble Quran. This one is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 119. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them and they with Him. Meaning they're pleased with Him. Now, before we elaborate on this attribute, the ulama have divided the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into two main categories, and then subcategories within the categories. Why? Because the deviance that occurred amongst the Muslims necessitated that some systematic approach will be laid down for the people of knowledge to be able to refute the people of deviance with this system. You know, like you may start a business, you know, and your business is running fine, and you don't need to have a special procedure how business is conducted. Until you start getting some lousy employees who play around too much, you know, and they try to take advantage of some things, then you lay down some principles in the business. You know, this is the procedure, this is how we do business, you must go through step A, B, C. Why? That wasn't needed in the beginning when you had trustworthy employees. But when the bad employees came around, then you had to do something to protect your business. We always give business examples because that's the thing we could relate to the most. So similarly, the ulama had to do something like that. The Sahaba didn't have this because they didn't need to. Everybody understood. But when people with that understanding came, then they had to, scholars had to do this. So جزاهم الله عنا خير الجزاء وأدخلهم الجنة بغير حساب.
The attributes of Allah are of such: الصفات الذاتية والصفات الفعلية. الصفات الذاتية, personal attributes of Allah. And the personal attributes of Allah are further divided into two subcategories. So first, الصفات الذاتية أو الصفة الذاتية, personal attribute. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Personal attribute, which is further divided into two subcategories. First, خبرية, informative. خبرية, informative. And second, معنوية, abstract. Following me, huh? If you're not following me, tell me. Two main subcategories. The first one is الصفات الذاتية, personal attributes, which is divided into two subcategories. First, the informative, خبرية, and second, the معنوية, abstract. An example of خبرية is Allah's face, عز وجل, Allah's hand, Allah's fingers, as it comes in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Anything that we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course when we mention hand and face and fingers, we know in the back of our mind, what, ya akhwan? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. This is the principle of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah. There is nothing like unto him. So it is not the hands of a human being or any of the creation, because the Creator is unlike his creation. If the Creator became like the creation, then we don't have a Creator anymore. You see, then we lose the whole concept of life. We don't have anything. So everything will become in vain, which is impossible. So the Creator is unlike his creation, that is understood. This is the khabariya, informative. Al-ma'nawiyya, abstract, like hayat, the life of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm, the knowledge of Allah. You know, qudra, the omnipotence of Allah. Allah's ability to do all things. So these fall under the الصفات الذاتية المعنوية, personal abstract attributes. Everybody's following me? Beautiful. We can move on to the second main category. الصفات الفعلية, the active attributes of Allah. The active attributes, which is also divided into two categories. صفات الفعلية, from the word فعل. فعل is action, verb. Now, well, verb in the context of grammar, in the context of language, it's like action. صفات الفعلية, the active attributes. And the active attributes are always conditional to the will of Allah. The will of Allah, meaning the mashiyah of Allah. Such as Allah descending to the lowest heaven at the last third of every night. Right? This is from the sifat al-fi'liyya, active, because it involves action, right? And it has it's relevant to the will of Allah. Allah will to do so. And that is divided into two subcategories, sababun ma'lum wa sababun ghayru ma'lum, a known reason and an unknown reason. An example of a known reason is like the one we have today, rida, Allah being pleased. We know that Allah is pleased because of the people doing something. So there's a known reason why Allah becomes pleased or displeased with one of His creation or some of their deeds. Whereas the ones that we have no knowledge of, such as Allah descending to the lowest heaven, no, we don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will to do that. Allah will to do that. We don't have any particular reason that we know of. Unlike the other one, like pleasure, we know that if you do this, Allah will be pleased with you. Right? But in terms of Allah descending, it's not none of your business. Whether you did or you didn't, this is something Allah does. It's an active quality of Allah. Right? And there's an unknown reason why it is happening. So, I will summarize. Allah, the scholars have divided the names and attributes of Allah, the attributes of Allah, into two main categories. Asifatul Dhatiyya, personal attributes, which are divided into two subcategories. Sifatun Dhatiyya, khabariyya, informative, wa sifatun Dhatiyya, ma'nawiyya, abstract. And we gave example of each. Then the second kind is Asifatul Fi'liyya, the active qualities of Allah, which is always relevant to the will of Allah. And there are kinds that we know the reason why, and others that we don't know the reason why. Khalas. So this will be necessary because this will be the foundation on which we will build the rest of the understanding of these attributes of Allah. So we must have this memorized to some extent, inshallah. When you go home, alhamdulillah, if you put it in a graph, or you know, in such a way where you could, you know, divide them and have, you know, lines and everything, then it'll be easy to comprehend. Sababun ma'lum, known reason. Wa sababun ghayru ma'lum, unknown. Hey, like descending, unknown. Allahu a'lam. Allah informed us that He does that, Azza wa Jal. It's nothing that we do. Whereas rida, it's conditional to you. You do something, Allah will be pleased with you. You don't do it, Allah will not be pleased with you. Tayyib. حسنا إذن يقول الشيخ رحمة الله عليه هذه من آيات الرضا فالله سبحانه وتعالى موصوف بالرضا وهو يرضى عن العمل ويرضى عن العامل. He said this is from the ayat, from the verses of rida, which is Allah being pleased with. I don't want to say pleasure, because pleasure may hold another connotation, you know. But we don't want that. Allah being pleased with, that's what is intended by rida. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described as being one who is pleased with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the deed and with the doer of the deed. Two things. The deed itself, the deed, the action that you do, and the doer of the action. So that Allah being pleased with is associated with the deed itself and the one who's doing the deed. Is that clear? طيب. يعني أن رضا الله متعلق أو رضا الله متعلق بالعمل وبالعامل. The pleasure of Allah, or the Allah being pleased with, is relevant to both the deed and the doer of the deed. طيب. The Shaykh will elaborate. أما بالعمل فمثل قوله تعالى وإن تشكروا يرضه لكم أي يرضى الشكر لكم. An example of Allah being pleased with the deed itself, meaning the deed, such as the ayah in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 7. And if you are grateful, He is pleased therewith for you. He is pleased with the action of you being thankful or grateful to Allah. وَإِن تَشْكُرُوا يَرْضَهُ لَكُمْ. It is not يَرْضَ عَنْكُمْ, He's pleased with you. Rather, He's pleased with that gratefulness of yours. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with the action of gratefulness that the servant does. Is that clear? So He's pleased with the action of being grateful. That's the deed that the servant performs. وَكَمَا فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. Another example is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 31. عَفْوًا, verse 3. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. And I am pleased with Islam as a way of life or as a religion for you. So here Allah is pleased with the religion of Islam, not the individual. Right? The deed itself. And Islam is a deed. It's a deed, the most important deed in your life. All your deeds are based on Islam. طيب. وَكَمَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ الصَّحِيحِ. And as it comes in the authentic narration from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْضَ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا وَيَكْرَهُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Verily Allah is pleased regarding three matters that you do, and He dislikes another three. The ones that He disliked is Al-Qila wal-Qal. He said, she said, he said, you know, he said this and he said that, and just people just transferring and moving on conversations between the people and the debates and back and forth. وَكَثْرَةُ السُّؤَالِ. Asking too much. Of course, not in the context of seeking knowledge. In the context of seeking knowledge, then asking too much is praiseworthy. But this is relevant to those who ask just to be stubborn, or just to debate, or just to be arrogant, or those who used to ask when the revelation was still being sent down, and then it made things difficult for the Muslims, as Allah says in the Quran, "O you who believe, don't ask about affairs that if you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deliberately left it alone. When you ask about them, then the revelation will come and it may become prohibited. In the beginning, it was allowed." So this is in that context. طيب. Anyway, so here the shahid, the point of emphasis is Allah is pleased with the actions. If you do these three things, Allah is pleased with them. If you do these three things, Allah is not pleased with that.
What are the three things that He's not pleased with?
You know, he said, they said, abundance of question, afwan. The last one is ida'atul mal, wasting money.
And what is the one that He's pleased with?
I don't remember, but I believe it's either that you don't commit shirk,
and that you hold on to the rope of Allah altogether, and the third one I don't recall. Wallahu alam. We could refer back to the hadith inshallah.
ويتعلق الرضا أيضا بالعامل مثل هذه الآية التي ساقها المؤلف رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه.
Also, the Allah being pleased with is also relevant to the, عليكم السلام, the doer of the action.
Yes, إخوان. العامل, the one who, like from فاعل, فعل فاعل, عمل عامل, the doer of the action.
As the ayah that was quoted by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, Allah is pleased with them and they with him. Here it's not pleasure, Allah is not being pleased only with their deeds, rather Allah being pleased with the individuals themselves.
Nah. طيب. فرض الله صفة ثابتة لله عز وجل وهي في نفسه وليست شيئا منفصلا عنه كما يدعيه أهل التعطيل.
The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being pleased with His creation or with the deeds of His creation is an affirmed quality of Allah, and it is part of Him. It is not something that is separated. It is not something that is outside of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that is independent of Allah, as the people of Ta'til who deny it, that they say that this is not from the essence of Allah. It is something something outside, and it is used occasionally, but it's not something that is permanent with Allah, as we know Allah has the permanent qualities that He has from life and knowledge and qudra. Everything is, Allah has always been like that, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah does whatever He wills. So the Shaykh saying this is something that is, from the attributes of Allah, as we know them. So nothing that is independent of that.
وَلَوْ قَالَ لَكَ قَائِلْ فَسِّرْ لِي الرِّضَى لَمْ تَتَمَكَّنْ مِنْ تَفْسِيرِهِ.
If a person was to ask you, explain to me rida, the Shaykh said you will be unable to do so. You cannot really describe it. What, in a sense, figuratively speaking, how are you going to describe Allah being pleased with someone in a technical fashion? It is not doable. لِأَنَّ الرِّضَى صِفَةٌ فِي الْإِنسَانِ غَرِيزِيَّةٌ. Because pleasure is a quality that is instinctive in the human being. It's part of your instinct. It's part of you,
والغرائز لا يمكن لإنسان أن يفسرها بأجلى وأوضح من لفظها.
يعني the instincts that the human has, nothing can explain them in a more eloquent form than the very title of that thing, which is رضا, being pleased with. The best definition of being pleased with is being pleased with. If you try to find other words, nothing will be better than that. So because it's one of the instincts of the human beings, that's what the Shaykh is trying to mention. والله أعلم. طيب.
فنقول الرضا صفة من الله عز وجل وهي صفة حقيقية متعلقة بمشيئته فهي من الصفات الفعلية.
We say, the Shaykh said, the quality of being pleased with is from the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is a real quality of Allah, a real attribute of Allah, and it is conditional to Allah's will, and it is from Allah's, which kind of صفات, ذاتية or فعلية؟
فعلية.
With a reason or without a reason?
Known
or unknown?
Known.
Unknown is like descending to the lowest heaven. Known is like pleasure. You do this, Allah is pleased with you. So we know the reason, you doing that. Whereas descending to the lowest heaven, you have nothing to do with it. You have nothing, you see, we don't know the reason why. We just know what it is, and we know what the virtue that we get, and we know that your dua will be answered if you ask Allah. All this we know. But do we know the reason initially why? No. Whereas the pleasure of Allah is conditional to the will of Allah first and foremost, and to you doing that which will bring about Allah's pleasure. So this is sababun ma'lum.
يرضى عن المؤمنين وعن المتقين وعن المقسطين وعن الشاكرين.
Allah is pleased with the believers, and with the righteous, and with the just, and with the grateful ones, those who are grateful to Allah.
وَلَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ.
And Allah is not pleased with the disbelieving people.
وَلَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ.
Neither is He pleased with the evildoers or the corrupt people, those who have went outside and transgressed against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's limitations.
وَلَا يَرْضَى عَنِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ.
Nor is He pleased with the hypocrites.
نعم. فهو سبحانه وتعالى يرضى عن أناس ولا يرضى عن أناس. So he, the exalted in might, he is pleased with some people and he's not pleased with others. A. ويرضى أعمالا ويكره أعمالا. And he is pleased with some deeds and he is displeased with other deeds. So then Allah is pleased with some of his creation, displeased with others, pleased with some of the deeds of his creation and displeased with others. It's clear. This is from the belief system of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Some people deny that. They will say, you cannot say that Allah becomes pleased or displeased. This is not from the qualities of Allah. What is intended by that is that. And they start giving their philosophical interpretation of the Quran and the Sunnah. And if they once they go there, they have went off the path. And this is when the person start playing around with this Tawheed. And if you keep playing around with the Tawheed and you ruin your Tawheed, and you die in this particular case, then Jannah may be forbidden for you eternally. You may die, as we mentioned, as a believer, understanding these things right. You may be a fornicator, wal'iyadhu billah. May Allah protect all of us from this sin. A fornicator, a drunkard, an alcoholic, a drug addict, you name it. But if your tawheed is sound, if that was sound, of course if that was sound, you wouldn't be doing all these. But we're just saying, for whatever reason, your tawheed was sound, you are qualified to enter Jannah at some point in time. After Allah, if Allah wishes to punish you for all of these transgressions, He may. But eventually your abode will be Jannah. Whereas someone who doesn't do all of these, but he ruins his tawheed by worshipping a grave or a dead person or worshipping other than Allah or denying Allah's names and attributes after knowledge has been delivered to them, and they reject what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about Himself in the Quran, then even if that person have left alone all these other sins, he did not fix this situation, he will never enter Jannah. So this shows you how important Tawheed is. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ always emphasized. This is what he always focused on. That's why when a man came to him and said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتُ, whatever Allah wills and you will, he said, أَجْعَلْتَنِي لِلَّهِ نِدًّا, did you make me equal with Allah? He was angry sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although you know how his style was kind, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, had you been rough and difficult with the people, they will run away from you. But in this situation, when it dealt with Tawheed, there was no joking around. Did you make me equal with Allah? Say whatever Allah wills only. Don't include me in that. This is how it was with Tawheed. And when the people worshipped other than Allah, read the Quran and see how severe the refutation was by Allah regarding those who claim that there are other gods with Allah. The most severe threats were revealed in the Quran pertaining to people messing around with Tawheed, which is the ultimate purpose of life and the message of the messengers and the very thing that, you know, the very reason why we're here. So fooling around with that is danger zone, and you may just go off. So we must understand this then in the right context. This is the understanding of our righteous predecessors, the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and Atba' al-Tabi'een and those scholars who have always been on this path since then. The people who have deviated from this came afterwards. They are known, identified, and they were refuted by the ulama from the moment that they arose. It's not like nobody dealt with them. They've been refuted. Since then, until today, people continue to answer them and reply with evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. So this is not something strange or outlandish. This is the right. This is the truth. And it is what logic entails. Allah revealed the Quran to guide you. Allah is not going to give you some mystery in the Quran, as the Christians claim Trinity, you know, is mysterious. So we Muslims are going to say, wallah, the names and attributes of Allah are mysterious. No, there's nothing mysterious about them. We believe in them, as Allah said, because we know that there's nothing like Allah. And case closed, you know, alhamdulillah, it's one of the most basic and simple things in this life of ours. طيب. ووصف الله تعالى بالرضا ثابت بالدليل السمعي كما سبق. Describing Allah with the quality of being pleased with is something that is affirmed through الدليل السمعي. What does that mean? Hey, but we said, although it says سمع, we mean something else. Textual evidence. Whenever you hear dalil sam'i, hearing, what is intended is the textual evidence, meaning a verse from the Quran or the hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. This is what that dalil means. يعني قول من القرآن أو من السنة أو إجماع الصحابة or the consensus of the Sahaba. But originally and initially, the Quran and the Sunnah, this is what we mean when we say textual evidence, meaning an evidence from the text of the Quran or the text of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So although we say sam'i, hearing, is because initially these narrations and ayat were heard. They were heard. It wasn't brain, it wasn't intellect, because the intellect you think inside. Whereas dalil sam'i, you hear it from the Quran or the Sunnah. So that is what is intended, wallahu a'lam. Kama sabaq. وبالدليل العقلي. That's why we make another distinction and also affirm through عقل, intellectual evidences. So we have textual evidences and intellectual evidences. فإن كونه عز وجل يثيب الطائعين ويزيهم على أعمالهم وطاعتهم يدل على الرضا. The very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rewards the obedient, He rewards them, and that he recompenses them for their deeds and their acts of worship, this is an indication that Allah is pleased with them. That is an indication that Allah is pleased with them. This is just, yani, intellectually speaking. If Allah has given you a reward, could it be that Allah is displeased with you? Then He's going to give you the reward for the act of worship? Doesn't make any sense. Yani, logically, it doesn't make any sense. If you're being rewarded, and Allah promised in the Quran, if you do this, you will get that. That means that you'll be getting the pleasure of Allah. And Allah says in the Quran, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. يعني, if you didn't want to use your brain, that's all you need. Allah is pleased with them. خلاص. You know, it's over. Allah says in the Quran, Allah is pleased with them. You don't have the right to interpret this in another way, other than what is known in the language of the Arabs of what that means. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. رَضِيَ, past. Allah, the doer of the action, عَنْهُمْ, the maf'ul bihi, the one who, the predicate. It's know what it means. We know what it means. Allah is pleased with them. So even if your brain doesn't understand it, because sometimes your brain is not, you know, our brains are not really that, you know, well, because of whatever we be eating sometimes. At least the textual evidence is what you base your understanding on. And the intellectual evidence is used as supporting evidence for you to deal and explain to the those who may be more, يعني, they may be ignorant. Now, فإن قلت استدلالك بالمثوبة على رضا الله عز وجل قد ينازع فيه. If someone said, well, you, يعني, speaking to the Shaykh, you using the fact that Allah is rewarding these brothers with goodness as an indication that Allah is pleased with them, يعني, is something that we may dispute about. It's not really strong, the fact that Allah is rewarding them. You know, excuse me, somebody may deny that. لأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قد يعطي الفاسق من النعم أكثر مما يعطي الشاكر وهذا إيراد قوي. Because the person who may say this, he says, look, Allah gives the corrupt person sometimes more bounties than the thankful one. Right? And this is strong. That's a strong answer. Because if we say, look, the fact that Allah is rewarding them, it means that Allah is pleased with them, then somebody will tell you, well, look at this guy driving this Mercedes. He doesn't go to the masjid. Huh? He doesn't, you know, do anything good. Look at all these bounties Allah gave him. So now based on your statement, Allah is pleased with him because he received bounties. So the Shaykh said, this is strong. This is a strong argument. Basically to claim that just because Allah has given him things, that means Allah is pleased with them automatically. Not necessarily the case. It may be the case, but not necessarily. ولكن الجواب عنه أن يقال إعطاؤه الفاسق المقيم على معصيته استدراج وليس عن رضا. نسأل الله العافية. He says, the Shaykh said, and the answer to that is, we say, the fact that Allah is given the corrupt person, okay, who is consistent on sinning, is istidraj. Istidraj is basically seizing someone unexpectedly. يعني, anyway, like you, well, we don't want to say that because it's conditional. But basically, you bring someone slowly but surely into trapping them because of their evil ways until you seize them and they caught off guard in a sense. That is what is intended. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. وليس عن رضا. It is not pleasure. Why? We have the Surah Al Ayat, two ayat in Surah Al A'raf, verses 182 and 183. Allah Jalla Jalalu says, والذين كذبوا بآياتنا سنستدرجهم من حيث لا يعلمون وأملي لهم إن كيدي متين. Those who reject our ayat, we shall gradually seize them for punishment in ways they perceive not, and I respite them. Certainly my plan is strong. So this is what Allah says. And we said respite from the last lecture is basically giving him postponing, giving him some time, some room. So Allah says here that He will delay on purpose, and He will give him some time. Why? Because He will gradually seize them in punishment. Who, though, the righteous man who's begging Allah for hidayah and for mercy?
No.
Subhanallah. No. This is not for the brother who's striving to please Allah. This is for the one who doesn't want Allah. He says, Ya Allah, I don't want no deen, I want to enjoy life. So these individuals, Allah will allow. You want the dunya, you want money, then Allah will give them the money. And you will have them continue to be overwhelmed with this money until they destroy like Fir'aun. Like Fir'aun and Qarun, and you know, all of the people who rejected the prophets and the messengers. Those are the ones who are being gradually, you know, driven towards being seized in punishment by Allah. But the righteous believer, or the one who seeks Allah's mercy and hopes in Allah's mercy, then obviously we know that Allah Azza wa Jal, from the ayat that we learned earlier, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, my mercy encompasses everything, and that Allah's mercy precedes Allah's anger, Allah will not do this to His righteous servant. So this is for the wicked person, and not for the righteous brother. طيب.
So, can you repeat the number of the verse?
182-183, Surah Al-A'raf. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله لا يملي للظالم حتى إذا أخذه لم يفلت. Verily Allah will give respite to the oppressor until He takes hold of him, then He will not let go. يعني basically once the punishment comes to this person, there is no escape. He will be given some time. He will be given some time to realize, to turn back in repentance, to change his ways. You know, human beings are given a long life usually to ponder upon the purpose of creation and decide to submit to Allah. But if you live 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, you're turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, once the punishment comes, khalas. That person will not be released afterwards. He will be seized in this fashion. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, after he quoted this hadith of his alayhi salatu wasalam, وَتَلَى قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَكَذَلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. In Surah Hud, verse 102, Allah says, and such is the seizure of your Lord when He seizes the towns while they are doing wrong. Verily His seizure is painful and severe. Such is the, when the towns, you know, oppress and go wrong, then when Allah takes them, and just look what happened to the people of Lut. Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, as he comes in the tafsir, he put his wing. Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, he put his wing, and he has 600 of them. When the Prophet salam seen him, he covered the horizon. He put his wing in the land, and picked up the land where the people of Lut were upon. He took them up to the sky, turned them upside down, and then smashed them down. And then afterwards Allah sent upon them sijil, rocks and stones and pebbles carried by the birds. Yani they had multiple punishment. There wasn't only one punishment because of that craziness that they were upon, which is homosexuality. That you know, you have now a group of Muslims who are trying to say that, you know, we want to be Muslims and homosexuals. You know, and it's just a reality, it's a manifestation of the Prophet's hadith. Verily you will follow the ways of those who came before you, you know, and hands width by hands width, and arms length by arms length. Even if they enter the hole of a lizard, you will enter after them. They said, who, O Messenger of Allah? They said, the Jews and the Christians. He said, then who? So now you have a gay priest, you know, okay, they say, mafi mushkila, gay priest, and gay, and then we heard this, yani, in some other countries, where we have some gay Muslims now, trying to ask for their rights. How can you read the Quran, and read about the people of Lut, and then say, well, I'm going to be a gay Muslim? Yani, this is something strange, Sheikh. And this is from the most far-fetched of things, but these people exist. So, this was the punishment because of that. Because of the wickedness of these people. This was something disturbing, very disturbing. Nasallahu al-afiyah. طيب وقال تعالى فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به فتحنا عليهم أبواب كل شيء حتى إذا فرحوا بما أوتوا أخذناهم بغتة فإذا هم مبلسون فقطع دابر القوم الذين ظلموا والحمد لله رب العالمين. In Surah Al-An'am, verses 44 and 45. Interpretation of the meaning in English, it says, so when they forgot, yani, the warning which they had been reminded with, we opened to them the gates of everything, yani, gates of pleasure, of everything. until in the midst of their enjoyment, until the midst of their enjoyment, when they were fully given in, all of a sudden we took them in punishment, and lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regrets and sorrow. So the roots of the people who did wrong were cut off, and all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all that which exists. So again, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they forgot about what they were reminded about, then Allah opened the door for them. You want the dunya pleasure, then the pleasure came to them, then all of a sudden came the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they were full of regret and sorrow. But it was too late. It was too late now.
Is this referred specifically to non-Muslims or even Muslims?
Well, these ayat, of course, they were revealed in the context of the previous nations that were destroyed. Muslims may, you know, the principle in tafsir is that you do not confine the interpretation of the ayat with the purpose of revelation, because the meaning is more vast. So you say the meaning can encompass anything that is applicable. Okay, so that's the qaida in tafsir. So yes, this may be applicable to the Muslims or anyone who follows on this path. It could be applicable to one individual. If they reject the signs of Allah, if they forget what they were given, Allah will give them the dunya, and then they will be seized in this fashion. يعني نوز الله مستعان. أما إذا جاءت المثوبة والإنسان مقيم على طاعة الله فإننا نعرف أن ذلك صادر عن رضا الله يعني. So that's what the Sheikh dealt with. He said so that when if somebody made that argument, we say, look, we have ayat that prove that the fact that Allah has given His creation does not mean that Allah is pleased with them. Rather, than the Sheikh said, as for the one who receives the reward of goodness while he is obedient to Allah, then we say, yes, this is the one that we know that Allah is pleased with him, and not the other people. طيب. So then inshallah, the next ayat, the next qualities, this is the only ayat that dealt with al-rida. Next inshallah we'll be dealing with ayat sifat al-ghadab, wal-sakhat, wal-karahiyya, wal-bughd. The ayat that deals with the attributes of anger, dissatisfaction, dislike, and hatred. These are all established qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be dealing with the textual evidences from the Quran that elaborate on them. And inshallah we will leave that discussion till the following week. Yes, inshallah ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.